Well, here we are, moving along. I really want to commend you for sticking with it so long. This is tough material and we're coming close to our hearts here. And I'm grateful for the attention that you pay. We're actually talking now about Evangel Launch, and that means to spring into action. We've been talking a lot about background and ideas. But when it comes down to it, the whole purpose of this time that we spend together is to get us to talking with people to bring them to life in Christ. So what have we been, we're talking now about planning to witness vocally. So what is it that we have been doing so far? Exactly that. Now it's getting crunch time. We're getting closer to actually, we just got to be out there doing it. You know people who are unsaved and you want them brought across the line to Christ. Jesus does too. And if we're not doing it, what are we doing? What are we doing with our faith? Bring up those three again, right? About fear and about lack of urgency and about disobedience. And where does that find you? We've gone through all of that. Here's an interesting thing. Maybe we're at this point right now. When my children were little, I could teach them. But when they got to be teens, they could only learn. I found I couldn't teach them anymore. They had to be willing to learn. And that's where we are in this course. I've been teaching you things from the Bible. And I'd say from now on till the end of the course, it's only what you're willing to learn. I've been teaching you what Jesus wants and teaching you even a way to get people from here to there. But now, it's how much you want to learn. Does that sound harsh? I don't mean to be harsh, but it is the truth. How much time do we have? It's 2,000 years since Jesus said to go into the whole world and be His witnesses. And what's the alternative? Just gloss it over? Let us talk to each other the way we so often do and not really bringing anybody to Christ, but sure enjoying our faith. I don't mean to be harsh, but I think we have to be firm with each other. You have to hold me accountable, and I have to hold you accountable. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, sometimes it gets so comfortable to be a follower of you. We're like that time when you took Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain, and they had this heavenly vision, and it was a marvelous time, and they wanted to stay up there. You said, no, we have to go back down because there's work to do. We're so grateful that we're followers of you. We're so grateful that you have brought us across the line to new faith in you. We want to do the work too. Touch our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit as we work through this material together. Amen. Well, what we're talking about now is planning to witness vocally. And I want to share some thoughts about a great passage in the Bible that teaches us so much. Remember the one on fishers of men? Here's another one that just written just for you and for me. Matthew 14. By the way, you know who's writing this? A man by the name of Matthew. A man who had not been a follower and Jesus touched his heart. Don't you think his heart must be thumping when he writes this stuff? Now, when Jesus heard this, I'll explain that. He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. And the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And this passage is enough to help us gain insights and confidence. I said I'd explain the passage a little bit, and I want to do that. Here's the background. Do you have a cousin? Is that cousin close to you? Does that cousin share your viewpoint? Does that cousin do stuff for you to make you successful? Jesus had one of those. His name was John the Baptizer. He was just 6 months older than Jesus was. Probably played together when they were kids. And now Jesus is going about preaching and teaching and healing. And all at once he gets a message from some of those who were friends of John the Baptizer. And they told him the story. They said, you know what, Jesus? John was arrested for talking about you. They put him in prison. And one night, they had a wild party and a lot of drinking. And they thought it'd be fun, so they came and they cut off John's head. And they put it on a platter and they carried it into the party. And so we went and asked if we could have his body, and body without a head on it, Jesus, and we buried it. And that's why this passage starts, when Jesus heard this, he went away by himself. Can you imagine? Think of that relative lying in a grave in the dirt somewhere, his head cut off. So Jesus just had to get away. If you ever wanted a picture of Jesus being human, it's right here. And so he goes away. He has to think that through. And you know what? Those crowds were so needy, and they loved him so. They followed him. And they find him. He's there. How long is he there? Half hour to grieve? And there comes the crowd. And what is his reaction? Oh, look at this. Does he get angry? Does he get disgusted? Does he move on? No. It says there, he had compassion on them. Compassion in the Bible is a word that means you don't feel it on your sleeve. It's a word in Jesus' language that refers to the deepest parts, your inner parts, places where you can't scratch. When you feel it there, that's compassion. And the interesting thing in the Gospels is that compassion is only used about Jesus, and every time it's used, there is some action. Jesus just doesn't have compassion. Compassion always leads to action. So there he is, grieving, brokenhearted. The crowds come, and he just opens up his life to them. What a man. And around him are the 12 disciples. And he says, and you know what they say? Jesus, send them away. Send these people away. Send the crowds away. How about us? Do we say that too? When we know somebody who isn't saved and we don't walk them across the line to Jesus, we're sending them away to die. And you know why? Because they looked at the crowds. Jesus saw people one by one by one. And what does he say? You give them something to eat. He wasn't putting them on. They had been with Jesus. Jesus had called them, it says in Mark, to be with him so he could send them out. And he sent them out. In Luke chapter 10, he said, go out, heal the sick, cast out the demons. They came back and they said, Jesus, it really worked. So they knew they had the power and they said, just send them away. He said, no, you do it. You know what they said? Well, they looked around. There was a boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. Jesus said, what do you have there? Here's a key word. They said, we only have this. And that's what we say to Jesus. Jesus, I'm only Wren. Jesus, I'm only a seminary graduate. Jesus, I'm only this age. Isn't that something? We're talking to the Lord of heaven and earth. We and they had seen the miracles He had done. And we have that kind of doubt. We say, well, probably can't do it. It's only me. Do you say that sometimes? It's only me. And what does Jesus say? Bring it to me. Bring your only to Jesus. You say, Jesus, I've only been through the eighth grade. Bring it to me. Jesus, I only know 15 verses from the Bible. Bring it to me. Jesus, I've only been a Christian for 2 months. Bring it to me. Jesus, I only... And He stops us and He said, whatever it is, bring it. And I'm wondering, will you do that? Will you dare to bring yourself to Jesus just as you are? Think of the song that we sing, just as I am without one plea. Does that apply to this as well? Oh man, I look back at, maybe you wouldn't want to know the poor attempts that I made when I first wanted to start winning people for Jesus. I said dumb things. I missed opportunities. I'd go home discouraged. They'd ask me questions I couldn't answer. Here's the silliest one of all. I get mad at God like it was His fault that I hadn't prepared, that I didn't give my heart to Him fully. Will you do that when you hear this? When Jesus says to you, bring your only to me. Oh man, how He can use that. I got a letter some time ago from a lady in another state. She said, I still remember the street corner where we were standing when you led me to accept Jesus. And that was 40 years ago. And I've done things so poorly. I got that letter and I thought, you know what? If you offered me $1 million in one hand and that letter in another hand, guess what I'd take? God used this scared, timid, unprepared person one by one to lead others to Him. That has been the key, that I've dared to say, Jesus, this is all I am. You know, I'm not a great reader because I'm a slow reader. I wasn't a very good student, never got any awards, not the greatest preacher in the world, forget things, haven't been a good administrator. There's an all long list of what I'm not when I compare myself with others and I see what others can do. And Jesus says, stop. Would you just bring who you are to me? Would you do that? We're planning to witness vocally here. And we're talking about gaining insights and confidence. That's been the idea all along in this course. We started by saying, look, ordinary, everyday people were testifying about Jesus. Is that because they had such great training? No, it says they took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. And if you love Jesus, it's going to show. And then we saw that He equips people. And then we saw the reasons we don't do it and the joy in doing it. That is not only for us. When you lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ, nothing else will ever satisfy you. You want one more and one more and one more. And stuff of this life starts to fall away. The joy for Jesus to see His people following Him. The joy to the Father when those He has created now praise Him. We've worked through all of that material. And then we saw how Jesus gives His Holy Spirit, His powerful Holy Spirit into us. And through him, we win others. And then we saw he calls you as you. You don't have to be somebody else. And what we're trying to do here as we plan to witness vocally is gain confidence and insight. Because the devil, our enemy, the jerk, he's against us. And he's trying to take away your confidence. It says that in the Bible. Don't lose your confidence. And the devil doesn't want you to have the insights that you are having into yourself to find out why you and I are not out there every day being vocal witnesses for Jesus and having success. Not only be sowers, but also reapers. One of the insights and the confidence that we gain is in our intentions. Do you think the disciples were planning to be so short-sighted? No way. Do you think they were planning to minister to the people when they said send them away? No way. In each of these lessons that we study, there is an action step. Have you been working on that? What is your goal? I played basketball in high school, and I remember when I was a senior, I set a goal of how many points and how many rebounds I wanted to have. And I met the goal, and then I thought later, did I set it high enough? And you know what they say? To fail to plan is to plan to fail. What are your plans to bring others across the line? Another thing they say is, if you don't have a target, you'll hit it every time. So maybe hit the pause button now and think about that. What is your plan? What are your intentions? And be careful of that word intentions. Remember we talked about the 10 frogs? 5 said they would jump. How many are left? 10. Because to decide to jump is not to jump. To have the intention to do it is not to do it. The second lesson we learn is envisioning who and when and where. Clearly in your mind. Athletes do that. So pause. Say the word who to yourself. And hit pause and say, this is the person it's going to be. And then come back and say, when am I going to do it? Hit pause. Write it down. Who is it going to be? When am I going to do it? Don't just say sometime, because that's no time. And then come back and ask where, and hit pause again. Where am I going to do this? Picture the scene. Athletes who are successful spend time before the game. Golfers plan. They can see that shot going. You can, when you watch professional basketball players, they got their eyes closed getting ready. So do that. And if you haven't been doing that, you're planning to fail because you haven't planned at all. And the third insight and confidence we get is in transition steps to doing it, to being it. Pause for a minute. Who's the name? Pray. Here's some action steps, okay? Have a specific name in mind. Pray over it for that person, for yourself. Work on that relationship. We've been talking about that. Absorb what we've talked about here. Absorb God's Word. And have you practiced it? You know, going over it, said, here's how I'm going to approach him. Here's going to be my transition step. Here's the diagram I'm going to use. I didn't like those in the course, so this is the one that's going to speak for me. And then remember the text above. Jesus says to you, just bring what you have to me. If you feel guilty or defeated right now, then I haven't done a good job. I haven't meant to make you feel guilty or defeated. I wanted to show you that to be a witness for Jesus is like breathing. To be is to be free. You don't have to set aside a time. You don't have to become someone else. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. We sing that about sin. We sing it about witnessing too. And then think of the results. Dear Jesus, we want to obey you so that the Father will be glorified. And we are trusting that your Holy Spirit is in us as we bring others across the line to full life in you. We love you. Amen.